This episode is brought to you by Sysdig, the leader in cloud security powered by Runtime Insights. Sysdig reduces the attack surface, detects threats in real time, and accelerates incident response. From prevention to defense, Sysdig helps enterprises secure and advance innovation in the cloud. Visit sysdig.com/WSJ to learn more.
Welcome to Tech News Briefing. It's Wednesday, October 18th. I'm Julie Chang for The Wall Street Journal. The explosion of generative AI tools over the last year has infiltrated so many of our lives, whether it's answering our online searches or the AI chatbot that's become our new best friend. And while there are many entrepreneurs in this sector, one of them, Sam Altman, the CEO of OpenAI, seems to be at the center. At the WSJ's Tech Live, he and the company's CTO sat down with our senior personal tech columnist, Joanna Stern, to talk about the future of AI. We'll have highlights from their conversation. But first, Amazon is revamping its warehouse operations with new AI-equipped sortation machines and robotic arms. The e-commerce giant says the updates will help reduce delivery times and identify inventory more quickly. And for employees, our reporter Sebastian Herrera says they'll be expected to work alongside the new machines.
The change for them is that things will just be a little bit more efficient around them. And a big change that Amazon is promoting is that instead of reaching up to grab items in these large shelves, these items are going to be coming to them more in what's known as the power zone, which is basically around the hip area. And they believe that will eliminate all of these repetitive stress injuries and will just make it more ergonomic. This new system by Amazon moves the needle forward in terms of large-scale robotics. Amazon has one of the largest warehouse networks in the nation, employs hundreds of thousands of employees. And so doing this at scale is what's difficult for Amazon. Amazon delivers billions of packages each year, and to make it even a little bit more efficient is important to them for speed purposes and just the goals they have around fast delivery.
The Biden administration is tightening restrictions on advanced chip exports to China, particularly those used for artificial intelligence tech. That's according to the Commerce Department. The move makes it tougher for U.S. companies like NVIDIA and Intel to sell existing products in China or make new chips to circumvent the rules. Commerce Secretary Gina Raimondo said the goal is to limit China's access to advanced semiconductors that could fuel breakthroughs in AI and sophisticated computers or be used for military purposes. A spokesman for the Chinese embassy in Washington said China firmly opposes the new restrictions, and the measures violate the principles of market economy and disrupts global supply chains. And auto safety regulators are investigating crews over pedestrian risks. In a filing Tuesday, the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration, or NHTSA, said it had opened a probe into nearly 600 self-driving vehicles operated by General Motors' driverless car unit crews after reports of vehicles exhibiting risky behavior around pedestrians. The agency says it's aware of 4 incidents, including 2, that resulted in injuries. Cruise has been trying to expand services in the Bay Area, Austin, Texas, and Phoenix. A company spokesperson said it's cooperating with NHTSA's requests for information. The Wall Street Journal's Tech Live event brings together some big names in tech and more to discuss the most pressing issues facing the industry today. One person at this year's event was Palmer Luckey. He's the founder of defense technology company Anduril Industries. Before that, he founded Oculus, which was acquired by Meta. Our senior platform editor, Julia Munslow, got to chat with him at the event.
What's your favorite use for ChatGPT or any other language models?
I haven't been leaning on it too hard. I think that for what we do, large language models are not super applicable. We use artificial intelligence for military purposes, pairing sensors with weapons and for perceiving the environment better to give situational awareness to people on the battlefield. It's very different from large language model and generative AI applications. But the most useful thing that things like ChatGPT have done for me, it's actually just allowing other people to have an understanding of how powerful AI can be. A lot of people didn't understand how a computer could do as good of a job as a person at something. Now that they're able to use ChatGPT, even though it's a totally different type of AI, we find that those people say, oh, I now buy the idea that an AI can do things that previously only a person could do.
And speaking of ChatGPT, top executives from the company behind the popular AI tool took the stage at Tech Live to talk about what's next for OpenAI. That's coming up after the break.
For businesses innovating in the cloud, every second counts. In this new world, where attacks happen at warp speed, security leaders must rethink cloud security. Sysdig strengthens cyber resilience by reducing the attack surface, detecting threats in real time, and accelerating incident response. The platform correlates signals across cloud workloads, identities, and services to enable teams to prioritize risks and act decisively. Visit sysdig.com/WSJ to learn more. Sysdig, secure every second.
These days, you're probably hearing generative AI this, generative AI that. And naturally, that's leading to a lot of questions and concerns. OpenAI is probably the most well-known generative AI company at the moment because of its popular tools, ChatGPT and DALL-E. Our senior personal tech columnist, Joanna Stern, sat down with OpenAI CEO Sam Altman and CTO Mira Murati at this year's Tech Live. Here are highlights from their conversation. By the way, you're going to hear them talk about AGI. That stands for Artificial General Intelligence, and that means a system in which computers have human-level cognitive abilities.
What is AGI, Mira, if you could just define it for everybody in the audience?
I will say it's a system that can generalize across many domains that would be equivalent to human work. They would produce a lot of productivity and economic value. And we're talking about one system that can generalize across a lot of digital domains of human work.
And Sam, why is AGI the goal?
The two things that I think will matter most over the next decade or few decades to improving the human condition the most, giving us just more of what we want, are abundant and inexpensive intelligence. The more powerful, the more general, the smarter, the better. I think that is AGI, and then abundant and cheap energy. And if we can get these two things done in the world, then it's almost like difficult to imagine how much else we could do. We're big believers that you give people better tools and they do things that astonish you. And I think AGI will be the best tool humanity has yet created. With it, we will be able to solve all sorts of problems.
Mira, how's that GPT-5 going?
We're not there yet, but it's kind of need-to-know basis. I'll let you know.
That's such a diplomatic answer. I'm going to make Mira do all of these. I would have just said, oh, yeah, here's what's happening. That's great.
No.
We're not sending him back here.
Who paired these two? Whose idea was this? You're working on it. You're training it.
We're always working on the next thing.
All of these steps, though, with GPT-3, 3.5, 4, are steps towards AGI. With each of them, are you looking for a benchmark? Are you looking for this is what we want to get to?
Yeah. Before we had the product, we were sort of looking at academic benchmarks. And OpenAI is known for betting on scaling, throwing a ton of compute and data on these neural networks and seeing how they get better and better at predicting the next token. But it's not that we really care about the prediction of the next token. We care about the tasks in the real world to which this correlates to. And so that's actually what we started seeing once we put out research in the real world. And we build out products through the API, eventually through ChatGPT as well. And so now we actually have real-world examples. We can see how our customers do in specific domains, how it moves the needle for specific businesses. And, of course, with GPT-4, we saw that it did really well in exams like SAT and LSAT and so on. It goes to our earlier point that we're continually evolving our definition of what it means for these models to be more capable. But as we increase the capability vector, what we really look for is reliability and safety. And as we build the next model, the next set of technologies, we're continuing to bet on scaling, but we're also looking at this other element of multimodality, because we want these models to perceive the world in a similar way to how we do. We perceive the world not just in text, but images and sounds and so on.
Will GPT-5 solve the hallucination problem? Mm.
We've made a ton of progress on the hallucination issue with GPT-4, but we're not where we need to be. But, you know, we're on the right track, and it's unknown. It's research. It could be that continuing in this path of reinforcement learning with human feedback, we can get all the way to really reliable outputs. And we're also adding other elements like retrieval and search, so you have the ability to provide more factual answers or to get more factual outputs from the model. So there's a combination of technologies that we're putting together to kind of reduce the hallucination issue.
I'll ask you about the data, the training data. Obviously, there's been maybe some people who may not be thrilled about some of the data that you guys have used to train some of your models, not too far from here in Hollywood. People have not been thrilled. When you're considering now, as you're walking through and going to work towards these next models, what are the conversations you're having around the data?
A few thoughts in different directions here. One, we obviously only want to use data that people are excited about us using. It may be a new way that we think about some of these issues around data ownership and like how economic flows work, but we want to get to something that everybody feels really excited about. But one of the challenges has been different kinds of data owners have very different pictures. So we're just experimenting with a lot of things. We're doing partnerships of different shapes, and we think that, like with any new field, we'll find something that sort of just becomes a new standard. Also, I think as these models get smarter and more capable, we will need less training data. What really will matter in the future is particularly valuable data. People trust the Wall Street Journal, and they want to see content from that. And the Wall Street Journal wants that too, and we find new models to make that work.
Well, we have to end there. Thank you guys so much.
And that's it for Tech News Briefing. Today's show was produced by me, Julie Chang, with supervising producer Melanie Roy. We had additional support from Zoe Thomas. We'll be back tomorrow. Thanks for listening.